What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I saw an interview where you said you kind of don't have many off-court hobbies. You're just like all hoop.
Yeah,
is that legit? Can you kind of expand on that?
No, it's really what it is, though. It's not much to explain. It's everything I'm doing is basketball related, unless I just got a book, so I'm trying to expand a little bit into reading. But everything is basketball related, unless I'm either listening to music, on the phone with friends, sleep, and that's probably about it.
What do you listen to?
And what's the book?
It's a Detroit artist named V's and a little bit of Lucky and J. Cole.
Okay.
How about the book?
I got it. It's called Untethered Soul.
Untethered Soul?
Yeah, The Untethered Soul. Somebody said.
Doesn't have a lot of other interests, hobbies. Chase Hughes asked that question. That was the answer from the Wizards' first of two first-round picks last night. Trey Johnson, a 6 foot, 5.5 inch shooter. Score. I think he's more than just a shooter from Texas. Chase is with us right now. Of course, Chase writes for Monumental Sports. You can follow Chase on X on Twitter at Chase DC Sports. So let's just start. What did you take away from last night? Did you like what they did at 6 and then 21 after the trade back? What are your thoughts on Trey Johnson and Will Riley?
I did. First of all, it's funny you play that sound. He's going to make my job a little bit harder because, you know, that is my job to kind of find out what these guys are like off the court and tell stories about them. So it's no big deal. I'll figure some things out. But, yeah in terms of Trey Johnson starting there, I think you have to like the value at 6 overall and the fit. You know, I thought he wasn't going to be there 6 overall. I've been on a lot of shows over the past few weeks in this market mentioning him with the caveat that I don't think he's going to make it to 6. And my instincts over the years have usually been pretty good about, like, okay, this guy's a top five talent. He's not going to get past, you know, X pick. I didn't think he was going to get past Utah at 5. They unexpectedly took Ace Bailey, who reportedly didn't want to go there. They still took him anyways. And that paved the way for the Wizards to get a guy who I thought was the 4th best prospect in this draft. A tremendous 3-point shooter, both off the catch and off the dribble. And the reason why I like the fit is because they went defense with their first two picks under this new front office with Bilal Coulibaly and Alex Saar. So even though they're not great defensively, I see the path towards a good defense. They hadn't really added someone with this high of an offensive ceiling, so I like that. And then Will Riley, I think, is just taking a big swing for the fences. I don't expect him to show, you know, all of his talent in year one, but he was a big-time recruit going into college. You know, maybe 3 years from now, that looks like a lottery ticket that hit.
There were reports, Chase, you know, earlier in the week that the Wizards were reaching out to teams in front of them with the, you know, desire potentially to trade up. A, do you think that's accurate? B, who do you think they were trading up for?
I do think that's accurate. And what I would say about that is they have shown a propensity to be aggressive in trading on draft night and sometimes trading up. You know, they traded up to get Bilal Coulibaly. They traded to get Bub Carrington. They traded to get Keyshawn George. It's something that they like to do. And Will Dawkins has said on the record, his philosophy is you set your board, you find out who you want, and then you figure out how to go get them. If I were to look at a prospect that went ahead of them, that maybe, you know, if I were to speculate, okay, that guy would have been a fit. Maybe VJ Edgecombe, maybe Dylan Harper. I'm sure the price was really high to go after those guys. But they would have just fit really well if the Wizards were in position to draft them. But I think they were going to be in a good spot either way at sixth overall. And I said this on lottery night as everyone was sort of processing the shock. Obviously, Wizards fans were very disappointed. I said, well, this is a team that needs offense. They were 30th in offense. And all the guys in their range present really high offensive ceilings. If it wasn't Trey Johnson, maybe it was going to be Ace Bailey. Maybe it was going to be Jeremiah Fears. At the time, I thought Derek Queen was a distinct possibility. All those guys, I could see them becoming 20-point-per-game scorers down the road. Now, obviously, all of them won't be, but they have that potential. And so I think the Wizards were in a good position, and it ended up working out pretty well for them with Trey Johnson.
If Fears had gone to Utah at five and Bailey had been on the board, do you think it still would have been Trey Johnson?
It's a close call. I think they liked Ace Bailey. I think he fit in a lot of what they like. I think he checked off a lot of boxes for them with the positional size and the shooting and the athleticism. They didn't encounter that scenario. I could have seen them going with Bailey if they had the option. But Trey Johnson, I think, is going to be better than Ace Bailey, honestly. And there's probably people listening might be shocked by that, but there are quite a few question marks with Ace Bailey that aren't there for Trey Johnson. Ace Bailey, his biggest strength is probably his shooting. Trey Johnson is an appreciably better shooter than Ace Bailey. He also tested better at the combine. There's reason to believe he's a more athletic player. As athletic as Ace Bailey appears on the screen when you watch him, Trey Johnson, you know, performs better at the combine. And I think he plays a winning style of basketball. I think his off-ball movement, you know, I've been throwing Devin Booker out there as like a best case scenario. And that's the player that he's modeled his game after. But sort of walking around my house this morning, I thought, well, Richard Hamilton, remember Richard Hamilton? The Wizards drafted him.
Yeah.
They mistakenly traded him and he won a championship with the Detroit Pistons. The way he moves off the ball and the way he shoots off the catch, it's not unlike Richard Hamilton.
Well, I'm with you, and we took calls, and I was not an Ace Bailey guy, and I was a Trey Johnson guy, so I'm thrilled they did what they did. I'm curious, though, when we get to the second, you know, pick at 18. First of all, do you think that there was any player within range that they were interested in, because they do have a history of trading and trading up to get players they wanted? You know, Derek Queen would have been phenomenal. He went 13. Before we get to what they did at 18, do you think there was anybody within range that was a possibility for them on a trade up?
Derek Queen is a name that stands out. I know that they scouted him heavily. They liked him. I don't know what the price would have been to go up from 18 to 13. You know, they decided to trade back, get extra second-round picks. So they'll have the pick 43rd overall tonight. So, you know, they had lost their second-round pick. Now they move back into the second round. So they're going to get a third player. And so that's the route they chose. But, yeah, that's the name that stands out. I mean, some of the other guys, I like the prospects. Some of the guys that got picked ahead of them, I also like Thomas Sorber quite a bit, who went to Oklahoma City. I think that's really interesting because they have such a great track record. And I think he could end up, you know, maybe replacing Isaiah Hartenstein down the road as sort of the big body shot blocker. So I like that. But whether the Wizards liked him and considered trading up, I'm not sure.
Before, we're talking to Chase Hughes, of course, from Monumental Sportsnet. Before we learned that they had traded back with Utah, what were you hoping they would do at 18? When we got to 18, before you knew they had traded the pick based on what was on the board?
A few guys who I liked that ended up going a little bit later than expected were Neat Clifford and Jace Richardson. Neat Clifford, I thought, you know, maybe with that second pick, the Wizards could go with a more experienced player, you know, and think in terms of like, all right, next season they're probably not going to be competing for the playoffs. But what about the season after that? Like, you know, a guy like Neat Clifford, I was really impressed with him. You know, I was really focusing on that pick to sort of glean like which direction were they going to go in terms of their timeline and the strategy. What would it tell us about what they think about not next season, but the season after? Mm. And they decided to go with another sort of relatively raw prospect who's a long-term play. But another guy I liked who ended up going to the Magic where his father played is Jace Richardson.
Yeah.
Because the other day I just published a story, MonumentalSportsNetwork.com, where I dove into the analytics and looked at some categories that don't show up in the box score to try to see, all right, who's really good at things that we may not realize, who might have to work on things. And Jace Richardson just aced basically everything. And he went underlooked because he was only 6'5" without
undersized.
But he's super athletic. He's really good around the rim. He finished at a higher percentage around the rim than Derek Queen and Thomas Sorber. And he was one of the best three-point shooters from NBA range. So I thought, oh, wow, he's interesting, but also not maybe a good fit for the Wizards who like positional size and don't go for shorter players.
Yeah, one of the things I liked about Richardson and Will Riley, because I talked about both of them on the shows leading up to the draft, is they played in systems, too, that were very NBA. Brad Underwood, Tom Izzo, play up tempo, and their guys tend to be ready for the league, even though both of them are obviously very young players. So they trade back, and they take Will Riley. Your thoughts on Will Riley?
He's interesting because he's very big for his skill set. He's 6'8" without shoes, which means he's going to be like almost 6'10" on the court. And he's a wing. And he's got a lot of energy, a high motor. And what's been interesting, the more I learn about him since the Wizards drafted him, is that, you know, he was a big time recruit coming out of high school.
Yeah.
And he played a bit of a different role in college than he played at the AAU ranks. Will Dawkins remarked about this last night, that he played a lot more on the ball, especially in the EYBL circuit. And my colleague Chris Miller just sent me an interview he did with Brad Underwood, who's the head coach at Illinois, and I'm going to type up a story about it. But he said some pretty amazing things. Obviously, you know, a head coach.
Underwood said amazing things about Will Riley. What did he say?
Yeah, so he said he's going to be an all-star someday. And the most interesting thing he said, in my opinion, was that he has coached a lot of players over the years. Will Riley is the second most talented offensive player he's ever coached, only to Michael Beasley. I guess Brad Underwood, I didn't realize, was an assistant at Kansas State. I guess Frank Martin was probably the head coach.
Yeah, for Martin. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Michael Beasley, you know, it didn't work out in the NBA, but he was an unbelievable college player, right? Especially as an offensive talent. And we're still hearing his name today in these one-on-one circuits. But, yeah, that's what he said. He said that basically they played him as a point guard in the second unit, and he is really, really good at anticipation, both on offense and defense, and that, you know, basically they didn't explore all of his offensive talents because they had him in the second unit, and he played a role, and he was really good. He was the sixth man of the year in the Big Ten. But it sounds like there's a lot more under the surface in terms of his playmaking capabilities.
That's really interesting. Brad Underwood, and I watch a lot of Big Ten and a lot of the Big Ten press conferences. Brad Underwood tends to be and can be prone to hyperbole. But what was true about Will Riley down the stretch is he was basically playing starters' minutes, and he played really well in some of their big games, including their tournament win against Xavier, and just became more noticeable as the season went on to anybody watching Big Ten Illinois in particular. All right, so they do have 43 tonight, so they're back into the second round after dealing the second rounder to New Orleans as part of the Jordan Poole deal the other day. What do you think they're looking for tonight?
I think it would make sense if they picked a big man. You know, they've gotten a lot of wings, a lot of guards. They do have Alex Starr and Tristan Vucevic, and Rashawn Holmes is, you know, under contract. They could go out in free agency and get a big man, but they could also probably use another big man in their development program to balance things out. And the best players still on the board are big men. Now, whether they're still going to be there at 43, I'm not sure. But Maxime Reyneau of Stanford really stands out to me. He's about 7'1", played 4 years in college, really developed his three-point shot. Great motor, great aggression, especially on offense. I mean, that guy, like, he just jumps off the screen, how he attacks the rim, how he can make plays off the dribble. Rashear Fleming of St. Joseph's, I'm really surprised he didn't go in the first round. He's one of the best shooters in this draft, one of the more versatile players in this draft. And then another big man, just to stick with the trend here, Ryan Kalkbrenner of Creighton, four-time Big East Defensive Player of the Year, averaged like 3 blocks a game in college. And I'll actually throw one more name out there. He might not be there at 43, but Noah Penda of France, he's a 20-year-old, big body, really strong, really aggressive, high motor, plays physical. I think the Wizards could use a player like that. He's a two-way player, but we'll see if he gets to 43.
Yeah, Kalkbrenner, we've talked a lot about. I also think the kid from Michigan, the other big, Golden, is an interesting prospect. If they decide to go big like you think they might. All right. So what do we have? I mean, we got a lot of 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds. You know, when they suit up for, you know, game number one next October, give me your, you know, hunch right now on starting five and then, you know, the first three or four players off the bench.
Ooh, man, it's going to be tough to predict before free agency because, you know, all veteran players are sort of penciled in. The guys who I think are definitely going to get a lot of playing time would be Bub Carrington. You know, Chris Middleton, if he's on the roster, I think he's probably going to be in the starting lineup. Marcus Smart, if he's on the roster. Last year they had him coming off the bench. He seemed to be okay with that role, and I thought he was really effective at it. Alex Saar, certainly going to get a lot of minutes. Bilal Coulibaly. After that, I have some question marks. You know, I wonder, you know, now that, like, Will Riley's in the mix, is there going to be a little bit more competition? You know, Keyshawn George, I thought, really played pretty well last year, but
me too.
You know, his shooting percentage was sub 40 from the field. He was a really good shooter before that, but I think there's going to be a little bit more competition now, and that might be, you know, interesting to watch because I think there still is going to be the runway for the young players to play a ton of minutes and get a ton of shots, but they have so many of them now, you might not be able to play them all, and that could create, I think, a healthy level of competition. You know, maybe it's Will Riley and Keyshawn George sort of going for the same minutes. Is Corey Kispert part of the mix? Justin Champigny is a guy who I like. There's a lot of names I could throw out there, and I think that there's just a few young guys who I feel confident will get minutes, and then after that, it's anyone's guess.
If you can't speak to the trade the other day, just tell me you can't. I know that, you know, it's not official until, you know, early next month. But if you can, what did you make of it? And what do you think the goal is? To be active in free agency next summer or just to create a ton of flexibility next summer?
Yeah, I do have to note that it is unofficial. And, you know, we'll see because sometimes these trades, you know, they lead to other trades. Like, you know, Chris Paul was technically a Wizard for a brief period of time, right?
So right.
We'll have to see. I think the draft dictates a lot of things for the Wizards. Now they've got a guard in Trey Johnson who is going to have to play a lot and probably shoot a lot. So I think that's going to dictate their plans at the guard position. But, you know, it looks like the Wizards are really favoring salary cap flexibility. And it's interesting when you just consider the value sometimes of absorbing contracts and how that can get you first-round picks in some cases. Like, that's what happened with Marcus Smart at the trade deadline. You know, they got Marcus Smart, who's a good player, and they got a first-round pick that yielded them Will Riley. And so that seems to be a very valuable trade. So the value's been proven there, and I think the Wizards are, you know, it's kind of a new world for us, right? We've been evaluating this team for a while. The idea of them maybe having some of the cleanest books in the league, a little foreign after, you know, some of the messes that they've encountered with contracts that didn't work out. So I think that's what it's all about, is just flexibility and continuing to sort of be nimble and position themselves to take advantage of those types of opportunities.
Thank you for doing this. Hope you're well. Chase Hughes, everybody, from Monumental Sports. Talk to you soon, Chase.
Absolutely, Kevin. Thanks.
At Chase DC Sports on X on Twitter. Interesting night last night. And yeah, it is interesting. Like, if they go big, there are a couple of college players, if you watched a lot of college basketball, that could be very familiar, that could end up getting picked by the Wizards at 43 overall tonight. I guess it's worth paying attention to. I will be. If you want to weigh in on what the Wizards did in round one, Trey Johnson, Will Riley. Did you like it? Didn't you like it? Who would you have rather seen go at 6 or at 18 or at 21? Phone lines are open. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Wizards draft recap thoughts. What you liked, what you didn't like. Phone lines are open. We've got more Will Dawkins, too, when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. And don't forget, we have the Team 980 YouTube channel where you can watch this show and Craig Hoffman's show from 4 to 7.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
All that. What can tell me what you know about DC?
The first time I visited was when I went to work out for them, and you know, it was a great city. It's a sports city in a lot of ways. They got, I'm pretty sure, three sports: baseball, hockey, and basketball. I don't know if they have any other sports, but it was great when I visited there. It seems like the fans are very passionate, the people are very nice, and you know, it was a good vibe overall.
That was Will Riley, who is unaware that our city has an NFL team. He'll find out pretty quickly about Jaden Daniels, I would assume. But look, when you're not from here and you don't pay attention, it's okay.
He's Canadian. I'm going to give him a pass on it.
Yeah. A lot of Canadians in the league. A lot of French drafted last night. What? By the way, internationally, are there more French players in the NBA than any other country other than the U.S.?
It sounds right. I got to double check it, but it sounds correct.
I would say it's either Canada 1 or Canada 2 behind the U.S., France 3, or France 2, Canada 3. I don't think any other. There are several Germans, certainly several Eastern Europeans, but not all from the same country.
NBA players by country, 2025. United States has just under 4,500. Canada with 52. France comes in third with 50.
Yeah, first of all, there aren't that many players in the NBA
Also true. Oh, historic players.
Oh, historic.
Yes.
Okay.
Active is 453 American, 25 Canadian, 14 French.
25 Canadian, 14 French. What's third?
French is third. Serbians are. That's not the right order. Australians more than Serbians, 12-6, and then I believe that 9 Germans. Yeah, that's kind of where we get to, like, twos, threes.
Send me the list.
Yeah, I'll send you. I'll send it.
I want to look at that list. Just shoot it over to me. Gotcha. By the way, Fran Fraschilla, who I've always respected as a very good basketball analyst on ESPN, you know, he's been a big international guy as a scout and as a media analyst of a lot of what's happened internationally over the years. He tweeted out the following about Trey Johnson last night. He said, number 6 selection, Texas's Trey Johnson scores in his sleep. Great shot creator and deceptive playmaker for a scorer. Longhorn coaches told me he was the biggest basketball workout junkie since Kevin Durant. I saw that last September. Wizards are OKC Thunder 2.0 under Michael Winger and Will Dawkins. Now have a plethora of good young players for the future and an improving salary cap sheet. That from Fran Fraschilla. I think Trey Johnson's going to be a real interesting player to watch. And like I said at the beginning of the show, when you can shoot it the way he can, that doesn't go away at, you know, different levels. There's a lot more to the game than just being able to shoot. But that does translate. That does come with you. The ability to shoot. The ability to go get buckets. 301-230-0980. Was it a good night for the Wizards or not? Why or why not? Phone lines are open. 301-230-0980. But before we get to some of your calls, I do want to play some more Will Dawkins sound. So this was Will Dawkins talking about Will Riley. We played some of the sound about him speaking about Trey Johnson earlier. This is what he saw with Will Riley that might reveal itself the more he plays.
What were the things you saw with Will in the grassroots evaluation that might have only shown up later in his time at
home? More on the ball play. More on the ball play. His confidence when he is on the ball and kind of in that AAU setting. He knew what he can do with the ball and score and get places, but also find guys. When there were some injuries with KJ at Illinois, like watching those games, watching how he competed and really went at guys in the Rutgers game, like that's a high-level game with multiple first-round guys in it. And the way he kind of attacked that game is kind of what we saw in EYBL play.
Interesting. You know, I mentioned that he played really well towards the end of the year and basically got starter minutes at Illinois. I went and looked this up during the break because I mentioned that he had played well against Xavier. Illinois was trending towards a top four seed for much of the season, but they had a really ugly losing streak, which included, by the way, they got blown out by Duke at Madison Square Garden in late February. And they fell to a sixth seed in the tournament. And they played Xavier in the first round. He had 22 in that game and was 8 of 12 from the floor, 3 of 4 from behind the arc. I remember thinking, wow, he has really come into his own. He had other games during the course of the season. In a win over Purdue late in the year, he had 22 in that game, 4 assists, 2 rebounds. Had a really good game in a win at Michigan when Michigan was ranked 15th in the country. That was in early March as well. The game that you heard Will Dawkins just reference, so they played Rutgers just once. They played at Rutgers. They lost Rutgers 82-73. In that game, he had 18 off the bench in 34 minutes. He was 6 of 16, 2 of 5. And yeah, in that game, Dylan Harper had 28. Ace Bailey had 18. So he had 3. He had 4, including Jakachonis for Illinois. 4 first rounders in that game that particular night. Rutgers won that game. The Big Ten was a slog, man. It was fun to watch this year. It was deep. It was, you know, if you caught the team on the right night, you won, even though that team probably was ranked higher. And if you didn't catch them on the right night, you got pounded. There were some great games during the course of the year. But Will Riley, when you watched Illinois this year, and they're always fun to watch under Brad Underwood because they play fast, you know, like Michigan State and Iowa. Those are really the three teams in the Big Ten, although now with, you know, USC in the league, Oregon in the league, you've got more teams that like to play up-tempo. But for a long period of time, the Big Ten's been primarily a grinded-out half-court style league, different than the ACC, different than the SEC. But in that league, Michigan State, Iowa, and Illinois certainly under Brad Underwood, have been up-tempo. We're going to try to, you know, get a lot of possessions into this basketball game. And they've had really interesting players. And Will Riley this year, he just, you know, he was a big-time recruit, but he really, you know, was not a, you know, I looked this up. I didn't realize this. Very first game of the year, he had 31 points. You know, it was against Eastern Illinois. Off the bench, he had 31 in 25 minutes. But when they got into better non-conference games, they played Alabama. He was 29 minutes, 18 points against Bama. They lost that game. They played Arkansas in over Thanksgiving. They played Tennessee. Illinois had a great game against Tennessee. That's right. That was in December. He had 10 points in 20 minutes. He was 1-for-9 in that game. Missouri they beat. And then you got into the Big Ten. I think it's interesting what people are saying about Will Riley. And you heard what Chase said to us about Chris Miller's tweet. Hold on. Where is it here? Chris Miller, of course, the Wizards play-by-play voice. Chris Miller tweeted out last night that he just spoke to Illinois head coach Brad Underwood on Will Riley. Quote, he's a very high IQ player, but he's one of the elite hard shot makers I've ever coached. Just has the ability to put the ball in the basket. I was fortunate as an assistant coach and coached Michael Beasley. That was when he was at K-State, I think, with Frank Martin. And I've said, Will's the second best offensive player that I've ever coached. He had Terrence Shannon last year. He's had some really good offensive players, you know, at Illinois in recent years. That's quite the statement. This was Will Dawkins talking about the young guys getting their share of minutes next year. Here's what he said.
It would seem to me that you are now in a position where the young guys are going to get the bulk of the minutes going forward. Is that, am I reading that right?
Probably not completely on that one. I think you're right. I can't completely comment on everything we did yesterday. I will say that days like that, those are challenging decisions for any organization, especially one when you're in a rebuilding process. So you have to always remember to keep the main focus on the main focus and put ourselves in position to maximize where we're trying to go. And for us, that's long-term success. That's kind of going to be where we're at. And we wanted to stay on track with that while creating flexibility in what you're saying, playing time for some of these young players. But I thought Brian did a tremendous job last year. Having three rookies, three of them were all five top minutes per game. So like we're going to play those guys even when we had some veterans. And I still think we have some pretty high-level veterans who can play and help and mentor. So it's going to be tricky to kind of mix it all in. But I think it's a good thing to have. But again, we're going to invest in the guys we drafted tonight, give them every opportunity to play and find that balance. But we're trying to keep it strategic, trying to stay flexible. You know the new rules, the new aprons, like that's probably as important as having high-level players. So we're going to take our crack, develop our guys, and stay flexible. But on our timeline, we're not rushing that.
God, there's a lot in that answer as you think about them last year. But I do think, and I could be a bit off, but I think one of the things he said, and he can't really comment on the trade from the other day until it's final, and it won't be until, I believe, July 6th, is A, you know, Keefe did a good job getting the young players minutes. I mean, Koulibaly, Carrington, A.J. Johnson, when he arrived, George, they were all at 26 to 30-something minutes a game. But Jordan Poole was the leader in shots taken, usage rate. And if McCollum ends up being a part of this trade and they don't move him between now and July 6th, along with Middleton, they're different players than Poole. And they are focused right now on the development of their young players more than anything else. Because McCollum and Kelly Olynyk and Chris Middleton are not going to be a part of this team when they are ready to, knock on wood, contend for something. You know, Bob Carrington, hopefully, is the starting point guard. Trey Johnson, you know, hopefully will be the starting two guard. Bilal Koulibaly and Alex Sarr and perhaps somebody else, maybe a Boozer twin that they add next year will be a part of that group. It's not going to be McCollum, Middleton, Olynyk. And I'm Am I missing a veteran on their team? Interesting from him. Lastly, this was Will Dawkins talking about Bub Carrington, you know, after this trade, we'll hear the question here, getting more minutes as the starting point guard.
In terms of Bub, again, knowing that you may not be able to talk about that, other people that were at that position, is it fair to say that Bub's going to get the ball now? I know everybody gets the ball, but somebody has to play the one. Is he going to be the one going?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of room to kind of talk about that, but we feel confident when Bub has the ball, and we want to make sure that we're playing a style where everybody touches it, but he's going to take a step this summer. He's been in the gym with Key, with Alex, with Justin, with AJ. Like, these guys have been back since May 1st. It's pretty impressive the work that they've been putting in, and they're ready for the challenge, and they're ready for more opportunity, and we kind of like saying, hey, go get it, go earn it. Everybody's going to get a chance, and that'll take care of itself. We'd rather have people do it that way than just give things out to them. But I think he'll be ready for summer league.
You know, the more that's the first time I've heard that soundbite, and obviously moving on from Poole is also kind of, you know, like I said the other day, it's going to give now more of the focus, more of the minutes, more of the usage, more of the shots to those young players, you know, specifically a guy like Bub Carrington. I think what we've learned over the last few days, and maybe some of you knew this already, is that they probably have more confidence in Bub Carrington being their starting point guard moving forward out of all of their young guys than anything else. I'm not saying that they don't think that Bilal Coulibaly is going to be a really good high-level defender and a contributor, and Alex Sarr might be a stretch for all we know. But I think that, and again, some of you that are following it more closely than I, and I'm a big fan of the team, but this year didn't watch nearly as much as I've watched in previous years. I think the big takeaway for me, and maybe this isn't a big reveal for many of you, is that of their young guys currently, before last night, Carrington's the one that they've got the most belief in moving forward. And look, he had some really good games. If he hadn't made that game winner against Miami in the season finale, I think they would have had the fifth pick in the draft last night, not the sixth. Who knows? Maybe they would have had Ace Bailey. I'm glad they ended up with Trey Johnson. That was my preference of the two. But man, he played awfully well in the month of April in particular, averaged 17.6 points per game over the last seven of the season, seven assists, five rebounds, shot 39.3% from behind the arc, 44% overall field goal percentage. He played some really good basketball over those final seven games. Had some really good games during the course of the regular season before that, too. But the minute count went up. He was playing 40-plus minutes over those final seven games, and I think four or five of those final seven. All right, 301-230-0980. Good night for the Wizards, bad night for the Wizards. Your reaction to Trey Johnson at number six overall and Will Riley after trading back to 21. Wizards fans, if you want to weigh in on the phone lines, we've got lines open. 301-230-0980. We'll take your calls next.
All right, last night, the NBA draft was last night. The selections are in. Trey Johnson and Will Riley are officially Washington Wizards. Johnson, a lethal shooter hitting nearly 40% of his threes, and Riley, a jumbo-sized playmaker with all the offensive tools to succeed at the NBA level. The draft continues on ESPN tonight, where the Wizards hold the 43rd overall pick. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have re-signed head coach Todd Bowles and GM Jason Light to multi-year extensions. Todd Bowles has been extended through 2028, and Jason Light will continue his role as GM as he enters his 12th season with the team. The Nats, they fall to the San Diego Padres yesterday by a score of 1-0. Mackenzie Gore with six innings pitched, giving up only five hits and one earned run. But Padres pitcher Nick Pivetta had a day, notching 10 strikeouts on seven pitch, giving up no runs and no hits. The Nats are off tonight, but they will continue their West Coast road trip tomorrow in Anaheim. On the Fan, this update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Good night for the Wizards, bad night for the Wizards, somewhere in between. Your thoughts on Trey Johnson at number six, then the trade back from 18 to 21 with Utah, and the selection of Illinois guard Will Riley, 301-230-0980. I liked what they did last night. We talked about the players that could be there at six. That was the player for me of the players that were more likely than not to be available. That's who I wanted them to take at number six. I really would have loved the combination of Trey Johnson and Derek Queen, if a trade-up and a selection of Queen was possible. And when we got to 18, Walter Clayton Jr. would have been a great pick. But, you know, in talking through the Bub Carrington thing, I don't think scoring point guard was really on their list. They've got the guy, I think, that they believe is going to be the guy for the next decade in Baltimore's own Bub Carrington. And look, you know, putting Derek Queen onto the team with Carrington would have been nice. I like Will Riley. We talked about Will Riley as one of those guys that could be, you know, in the mix at 18. And let's see what they do tonight. 301-230-0980. Bones, you're first. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, my main man, Kevin Sheehan. Shout out to my man, Matt. Hey, you know, Kevin, I got the same, you know, I feel the same as you do, you know what I mean, in regards to them picking Ace Bailey at six. You know, a lot of people on the X was, you know, talking about Ace Bailey and all that. I didn't want them to get Ace Bailey. You know, I agree with you. I wanted Queen, you know, and then, but, you know, my main one was Malawak. I wanted Malawak.
Yeah.
But we didn't get Malawak, but I'm pleased with Trey Johnson because I see a lot of upside with Trey Johnson, you know. So now, you know, in the near future, you know, we got to get us a big man, you know, to go along with Saw and Vucevic. But I like this team. I like what they're doing, and I see what they're doing. A lot of other people might not can't see it, but I see it. You know,
yeah.
You got a nice little mob. Koulibaly, Carrington, A.J. Johnson, Trey Johnson, and then the boy Riley. That's a nice little running mob right now, you know. And I'm ready to sit back and watch this thing cook because we got something cooking right now. So, you know, that's where I'm at. I'm really pleased with it. It's getting ready to start cooking. Just hold your seatbelt, hold on tight, and enjoy the ride. Thanks for taking my call. Love y'all,
yeah,
man.
Bones.
Peace.
Appreciate it, as always. Yeah, I mean, they're doing the right thing. They're loading up with very young players, very talented players with big upsides. I think we are in the third of what will likely be 4 to 5 drafts worth of very young players. And the hope is that they end up with, A, superstar out of these drafts, and then B and C, a really good borderline all-star and an outstanding third piece so that they can contend. But when you're talking about the NBA, what Oklahoma City did this past season, going from 24 wins 2 years ago to the NBA title, that's an aberration. That's not really the likely result. The likely result is if the Wizards get this thing right and if their player development is right, if they are able to retain them in a responsible way, we're talking about 4 or 5 years from now. You know, that's really what we're talking about. You know, 2028. The 2028-2029 season is a 44-win season. And then 29-30 is 50-plus in your contending. Lap, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Kevin?
Thanks. Hey, Lap, how are you?
Oh, man. Yep. Hey, so, you know, we was on the Trey Johnson thing from the beginning because I was saying if Trey Johnson wasn't available, I wanted Derrick Queen, and then we could have got Clayton or Clifford. And, you know, we ended up getting Clayton anyway and trading it away. And I know you had mentioned Riley, so he seemed like he got good upside, you know what I'm saying? And but I'm happy with it, man. Even though I wanted Derrick Queen, I'm really happy we got Trey Johnson because that's who I wanted first. My only concern, Kevin, is I really want these players to develop. And I still think we need a really good coach. I think we need a really good coach. And I'm with you, you know, in the next couple of years, man, we could probably make some noise. And hopefully we get a good draft. Hey, Kevin, wouldn't it be dope if we got Gilbert's son, man? I think that would be awesome. I'm going to tell you why. Because we get robbed from Gilbert, you know what I'm saying, hold the gold gun thing and the injury and everything. And we didn't really get all of those years we could have had with him. So if his son come here, man, you know how big that would be, you know what I'm saying, for this area? And then, you know, they just did that 20-year Wizard, you know, reunion thing a couple of years ago. So, I mean, and I think it would be nice to see Gilbert in a, you know, in the arena again. So, man,
His son, I'm looking it up right now, wasn't he injured in some sort of accident recently?
He's fine. I'll be watching
the podcast. He is fine. Yeah, here it is.
He's fine now. Yeah, I think he's practicing and working out and stuff too. Yeah, I think he's
doing And he's going to play at SC. He's playing at USC this year, right?
Yeah, USC. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Lap.
Boozer.
The Boozer twins. I think it's Cameron. He is potentially number one, number two next year. So you're going to get another, you know, 20-something win season, another shot at a very high draft pick. Let's hope lottery luck turns their way next year. Not that that means anything, as we've seen. And you add another couple players next year, and then you can really start thinking about, you know, the offseason next year with all of the cap flexibility, and would they actually be in position a year from now after a fourth draft of very high picks, multiples, and they've set themselves up with picks, you know, moving forward, cap flexibility. They're doing it the right way. You really can't argue with this process. It doesn't guarantee anything, but who the hell wants to win 40, 41 games and be out in the play-in round every year? It's no way to go through life as a fan. And it took too long for them to get to this idea. They should have traded Bradley Beal earlier. They should have never given him a no-trade clause. But they're doing it the right way now. Better late than never. And you just got to live through these years. But some of this can be interesting. If you're a basketball fan and watching these young kids come in, and, you know, Lap mentioned coach, they don't have to deal with this right now. And, you know, by all accounts, Brian Keefe is very good at player development. He's very well liked. They've got to be really good in that area. You know, you got to get it right on the player, the talent, and then you got to be really good in the player developmental area. Clark, Chief, everybody else on hold. We'll take a few more calls. 301-230-0980. We've got a line open. Was last night a good night for the Wizards? Not a good night. What are your thoughts? What would you have liked to have seen them done that they didn't do? Phone lines are open. We'll do a little bit more on the Wizards' first round last night when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show. We are, of course, on the Team 980 and the Team980.com. We are also on the Team 980 YouTube page. You can watch the show there, like it, and subscribe to it.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.